A company that nearly vanished in bankruptcy became the most valuable story engine on the planet. That is not a metaphor. In the 1990s, Marvel filed for bankruptcy protection, a genuine system failure, not a rough patch. Yet by December 31, 2009, Disney had completed its acquisition of Marvel Entertainment for approximately $4 billion, covering a library of more than 5,000 characters. The same company that collapsed under its own debt became the asset Disney considered worth $4 billion. That gap between collapse and acquisition is the most instructive business story of the last 30 years, Alina, and it starts not with a film studio, but with a comic book published in 1939. Marvel began as Timely Comics in 1939. That original Marvel Comics number 1 introduced characters including the Human Torch and the Angel. The company later operated as Atlas Comics before adopting the Marvel identity in the early 1960s. Think of that transition as a software reboot. The old codebase, generic, interchangeable heroes, got replaced by something structurally different. In 1961, Stan Lee and Jack Kirby launched the Fantastic Four. That single title changed the architecture. Marvel's characters were now flawed people with personal problems, not detached idealized figures. Spider-Man, created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko, first appeared in Amazing Fantasy No. 15 in 1962. The X-Men arrived in 1963. The Avengers, Iron Man, Thor, Hulk, Ant-Man, the Wasp, assembled that same year. Black Panther, created by Lee and Kirby, appeared in Fantastic Four No. 52 in 1966. Each character was a distinct node. Each node could carry its own story. Now, here is the key idea. Those nodes were also designed to connect. That connectivity is what makes Marvel's architecture genuinely unusual. Marvel's fictional settings used recognizable real-world locations, New York City above all, which grounded extraordinary stories in ordinary geography. But the deeper engineering move was cross-character continuity. The Avengers did not just assemble heroes, they created a dependency graph. A reader who followed Iron Man had a reason to pick up Thor. A Thor reader had a reason to follow Captain America. Each title increased the utility of every other title. This is the feedback loop worth naming, the connectivity multiplier. Every new asset added to the network raises the value of the assets already inside it. The 1990s bankruptcy forced a brutal stress test of this system. Marvel had over-leveraged its balance sheet. The IP itself, however, survived intact. The characters were the infrastructure. The corporate structure was just the housing. The bankruptcy also produced an unintended consequence that shaped everything after. To raise cash, Marvel had licensed film rights to major characters. Spider-Man went to Sony. That sale looked like a loss. It turned out to be a forcing function. Marvel could not rely on its most famous character to anchor a film strategy, so Marvel Studios engineered its secondary characters, Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, into primary assets. Iron Man was released in 2008, before Disney even completed the acquisition. It worked. Marvel Studios then built continuity across separate releases, letting characters, settings, and events recur across multiple stories. That is not a traditional film studio model. That is a distributed ledger of storytelling, where each entry references and validates the others. Disney and Sony later announced a partnership in 2015, allowing Spider-Man to appear in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which meant the forced separation eventually became a negotiated integration. The constraint had built the system. The takeaway, Alina, is this. Marvel is not a media company that makes films. It is a narrative operating system. A platform where each character functions as a reusable module. The same character supports comics, films, television, games, licensing, merchandise, and theme park attractions. Disney's acquisition strategy confirmed this explicitly, coordinating Marvel properties across global distribution, consumer products, and publishing simultaneously. When Disney later acquired 21st Century Fox, it brought the X-Men and Fantastic Four back into that same operating system. The connectivity multiplier keeps compounding. Every new node, every new film, every new character introduced increases the return on every node that came before it. That is the mechanism that turned a bankrupt comic publisher into a $4 billion acquisition and eventually into a global screen empire. The infrastructure was always the characters. The empire was always the network.